For you all today on this is my first Mother's Day. I'm grateful to be before you. So appreciative of Reverend Jackson for opening his pulpit up. I don't take that for granted, of the honor and the privilege it is to stand before a congregation to divine the word. Thank you to Mrs. Jackson, who was so great and hospitable this morning with helping me get around and finding my way. I appreciate it. As always, goodwill to ministers and staff, to the congregation. You all make me feel at home. So this has long been a home to my husband, but I really appreciate all the ways in which this has been home to me while I'm in Eastover. And knowing that your prayers are always extended with us, even when we're not here. Amen? Amen. I am grateful. I appreciate the youth this morning. Y'all had me at Jesus Say Yes. That's my song. Grateful for the way that y'all ushered in the anointing this morning, getting our spirits up and ready to hear the word when Jesus said yes. I got this close to changing my sermon, but I decided I better go ahead and stick with what I had. This is my first Mother's Day, and I'd be remiss if I didn't point to my awesome husband in the congregation there with my son for our first Mother's Day. As always, having his support, don't know what I would do without it. I appreciate it. Amen. So, this morning, there is a word from God. Amen. 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 Would you pray with me? Let's bow our heads. God, we say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God, for all the ways that you speak. Thank you, God, for ways that you open hearts, God, just to receive you. Thank you, God, because you are a God who's still living and still speaking and still pouring words through the mouths of willing vessels, God. So, God, we ask that you keep us all humble and open to you, God. Allow a real word to flow through me, God. Allow it to be heard and applied by your people, Lord God. Allow preaching to be easy, God, and to words to come smoothly, God. God, we trust all those things in you, Lord. God, we love you, and we do praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to touch back on the scripture that was read this morning just to get me focused back on. So we are in Isaiah 66. I'm reading the New International Version, but feel free to read along with whatever version you have. I am going to start at the end of verse 8. Isaiah 66, we're starting about halfway through verse 8, so just try to find where I am. Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. Do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord. Do I close up the womb when I bring to delivery, says your God. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all who love her. Rejoice greatly with her, all who mourn over her. For you will nurse and be satisfied. At her comforting breast, you will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. If you'd read the last verse with me in whatever version you have. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. My title for today's sermon is Zion is a Mother. The title is Zion is a Mother. And I apologize in advance for dropping you off at the very tail end of a very rich prophetic book. The book of Isaiah, our text, is 66 chapters long, and I bring you in at chapter 66. And Isaiah has spent all 66 chapters prophesying to God's people in Judah and Israel and the surrounding areas. And through these prophecies, we learned a lot about what God is saying in the midst of a roller coaster experience the Israelites are having. They are the chosen descendants of Abraham around, and this is the time period around 700 BC. And it has indeed been a rough time for the people in this text. For those who need a quick refresher, it doesn't take much to realize that something has gone wrong. If you don't mind going on a quick old school tour with me through the Bible, I can show you just the predicament they're in. And by old school, I really mean old school. I mean flip through just the chapter topics in your Bible. It doesn't take much. No reading involved. You can read when you go home. But the chapter one of my Bible is called The Sins of Israel and Judah. Now that is a bad way to start off a book, right? Chapter three follows shortly after. It's entitled Judgment for Jerusalem and Judah. Judgment. By the time we get to chapter 26, it's looking a little lighter, and it's titled A Song of Praise. This is where we find one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself, is the rock eternal." And just when we're getting our hopes up, here comes the next title, soon after, just a few pages, Israel's False Hopes. What is happening? The people are living in the aftermath of Israel's fall to Assyria and then Babylon. Jerusalem was defeated by the Babylonians, who are a cruel people, and people, children, families are scattered from their homelands. Hebrew boys like Daniel are sent to king's palaces to be indoctrinated with principles of other gods. Sons and daughters sit under the tutelage of Babylonian penitentiaries, while wise elders are left behind and disconnected. Families are broken, and people are scattered. And Jerusalem means city of peace. The city of peace has been captured. The people are scattered. False gods are being introduced to their children. And at times, this just looks hopeless. Our quick Bible tour shows us that a little about the vicious cycle that Israel finds themselves in of bad decisions, bad consequences happening, promises that things will get better, and they do. But shortly followed after, we see bad decisions, bad consequences happening, and then promises that things will get better. Has anyone seen the cycle before? It can be exhausting. A seemingly never-ending cycle of sinning and paying sin's consequences. It's justice, but it's exhausting. This is life without Christ's redemption. And these are the people our prophet Isaiah, who speaks today, is sent to share God's words with, to prophesy to. While he might be one of the most prolific prophets of his time, I'm certain that he was not the most popular, because he is often not the bearer of good news. He's also been the one telling them that they're wrong, telling them just how wrong they are, calling out their sins, and describing to them in detail what's going to happen because of their shortcomings. Seriously, no one wants to be Isaiah's friend. But Isaiah has been tasked with the charge of being a prophet to these imperfect people like us. And he finds himself towards the end of the 60 years of ministry he spent fulfilling, fully understanding just how quickly your popularity wanes when your good news proclamation seems to have a twinge of gloom. Yes, the problems of Israel are real. The Jewish people have seen what some might call the best of times and the worst of times. But chapter 66 of Isaiah is part of 26 chapters towards the end of the book of Isaiah, where the focus is on comforting God's people. In this chapter, Isaiah is looking to bring a message of hope. But what do you say to offer hope to people who've been through so much? What will you say to bring a message of hope to people who feel like they have been defeated, forgotten, and distressed? I'm not making these words. These are the words that the people in Israel are using throughout Isaiah to describe their circumstances. They feel defeated, they feel forgotten, and they feel distressed. They feel defeated. They fear that they may never reach the promises of God. They may never see the promises fulfilled in their life. They feel forgotten by God. They fear that maybe they have made so many mistakes that God has cut them off forever. That maybe that's why they are so far from the things that they need. They feel distressed. They feel as distressed as you would feel, as tired and weak, as weary as you would feel as if you'd gone through so many defeated battles in your life. Can anyone understand what the Israelites may have been feeling? Maybe you have felt defeated, forgotten, or distressed. I picture Isaiah leaning back in his prophet chair. I picture it being big leather and cushy, right? Isaiah leans back in his prophet chair and he wonders, where do I begin? What do I say to bring hope and comfort to people who need to hear a word, people who feel distressed, forgotten, and defeated? What image could I possibly give to share how powerful and all-encompassing God's love and faithfulness is? How can I bring words of comfort and encouragement even while people's realities show so many losses? And their kids are still living in Babylon, and their city of peace is captured. What will I say? Perhaps Isaiah can use his best preacher voice and sit back and hoop and tell you to get ready, get ready, get ready! Not my style, but perhaps that could be his approach. Maybe Isaiah can lean on his academic training and toss out a bunch of $10 words that exude all the realness. Maybe he can construct a sound theological argument to explain to you just how God will execute the strategy of restoring Jerusalem in his time. It's probably not it. Or perhaps he can appeal to the fellas and tell them how Jerusalem is kind of like Kobe in his last game. You know, it looks bad at halftime, but Kobe's not going to go out without a win. There are endless metaphors that Isaiah could have used to help convey his message and bring comfort to God's people in this text, but Isaiah uses only one. Zion, your nation is a mother. Of all the ways that he could have conveyed this message in this moment, Zion says, your nation is a mother. It's okay. Because your nation is a mother. But why does the image of a mother work? I suggest it works because it's a message that we all know. Isaiah wanted to give a message that everyone could understand so that no one was left out. This is a message to everyone because no matter who you are, everyone has a mother. Yes, everyone has had a mother. Now, you may not have gotten the same mother. You may not have had equal times with your mother. You may not have even gotten the mother that you liked or wanted. Some people got different mothers, right? Amen? But I promise you that every single one of you sitting here has at least one thing in common on this Mother's Day, and that is at some point in history, there was one woman who willingly carried you in her womb for months, who let her body stretch out to make room for your body, and despite the pains and the comforts, there is some woman who gave of herself so that her body could grow yours. And she labored until her life gave you life. So Isaiah says, Zion is a mother. But we know so much more about mothers in childbirth, right? We know so much about mothers, and it's so prevalent in our society that even if you haven't had a great mother, we've heard about it through songs. There's songs like, I will always love my mama. She's my favorite girl. She brought me into this world. Mama, you're the queen of my heart. Loving you is like food to my soul, right? We know songs like, dear mama, don't you know we love you, sweet lady? And dear mama, place no one above you, sweet lady. You are appreciated. Isaiah uses the metaphor of a mother, and there is something that makes this metaphor work. The image of a mother works because even in a time period where women were kept from jobs, where they couldn't own property, we still knew the divine attributes, the power of a mama was a central force at work in the home life of this nation. I also think the metaphor of mama works because Isaiah is talking to people who are scattered and separated from their families. There are moms and dads hearing this word with their children in Babylon and no longer in the land of the living. And because there are children who have lost their parents, and many of us know that too well. There are many of us who Mother's Day is an amazing celebration, and there are several of us for whom Mother's Day can be bittersweet. Those of us who have lost loved ones before our time, who have strained relationships with those people, who wish that we had more. And in this passage, Isaiah goes to this metaphor to show all the ways that God is providing motherly love to all of us. Zion, as a mother, works also because there is something humbling about a mother. It reminds us of a time when we didn't have it all right ourselves, when we couldn't do it all by ourselves, when our human vulnerability required us to depend on someone else to survive. Zion, as a mother, works because even Isaiah, who was now grown big and bad, dividing the word of God, prophets all nations, even though he might be independent, even though you might make your own money, own your own home, and do your own thing, and be your own boss, there was a time when things were simpler, and all you really needed was your mama. Yes, the Israelites are grown, and at times they are smelling themselves. But I think Isaiah understands that what they really need today is a mama, and so he brings us to this image, Zion. Zion is a mother. God shares through Isaiah a simple message with people who feel defeated, forgotten, and distressed that Zion is a mother in efforts to revive them again. He uses this metaphor as a mother that probably stirs up so many feelings in the Israelites. But there are three attributes of a mother that Isaiah focuses on to respond to their feelings of defeat, of feeling forgotten, and feeling distressed. Zion is a mother because mothers deliver. You are not defeated. God has made many promises to Israel, and you all know these. These are the descendants of Abraham. There's a passage way back that says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those." This goes on and on. There are so many promises that have been made to the people of Israel, and even when they fell out of grace with God, there are promises to be restored. But now that the Israelites have seen defeat, they have smelled defeat, they wonder if these promises are still true for them. Have they sinned so much that they've lost God's grace? Have they gone too far off course? How can this scattered people be a great nation? It doesn't look possible. Can God really do what God said that God would do under these circumstances? The people felt hopeless and defeated, but God said Zion is a mother and mothers deliver. And God will deliver on every promise that God has made to Zion. Yes. Isaiah uses this metaphor to tell the people that God fulfilling promises is as unstoppable as childbirth. He says, "Do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery? Do I close up a womb when I bring to delivery?" And as sure as a mother who goes into labor has no choice but to deliver something, as real as those contractions are, ladies, that is how certain it is that every promise God has made will come to pass. Now, we can't promise delivery will be easy, and we can't promise no pain. There will be moments that it seems impossible and undoable. It will look bleak, but there is certainly joy on the other side of pain that is immeasurable. God will deliver. There's a message for us here today who fear that we have gone too far off course, that God's presence, that God's promises are no longer possible in our lives. Can I tell you that God is faithful to do just what God said God would do? And that God's word is not that it will not, it cannot return to God void. It is as unstoppable as childbirth. God will deliver. Yes, people who have felt defeated, God will deliver. But there's a second message here. Zion is a mother that provides. It's what they do. You are not forgotten, Jerusalem. The people have known times of despair. The people, the Israelites, they fear that God has forgotten them. that they are forsaken. There's a passage within Isaiah where people say that the Israelites felt like they were in a desert. Have you been to a desert before? There's no water. It's like the one thing you need to survive is water. The people feel like they didn't have the basic things they needed to live. Do you know how thirsty it feels in a desert? Do you know how empty and hot and uncomfortable it feels in a desert? There's nothing here to revive them, but God says Zion is a mother, and God will use that mother to provide every good thing for the children of God. God says, I know Jerusalem may look like a desert at times, but I'm telling you that Zion is a mother, and Zion is a mother because your nation has everything it needs to provide for you. God can send everything you need to survive in the most miraculous and unexpected ways. The text points us to Zion as a mother that is nursing her children. Verse 11 says, you will drink deeply and delight in the overflowing abundance. The scripture points us to that odd experience of breastfeeding. Breastfeeding is absurd, if you really think about it. There is a woman who has a natural anatomy that she's had for X amount of years that's done the exact same thing. She has breasts that have tissue and fat. And suddenly she gives birth and her body transforms to have food that is the only food that baby needs. And she can feed him for years. She can produce more than that baby ever needs. There are wet nurses who are able to feed multiple people's children from a source that never could before and no one would ever expect would. This is how God works. Isaiah uses this to remind us just how creative God can be at making sure that we have the things that we need. Can I tell you that Zion is a mother and God can provide for you? Yes. Chapter 49, before this goes in more detail, it says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has born? Even though she could forget, I will not forget you. There's a word here for those who feel forgotten. As bills are piling up, as you're waiting for work, while you're waiting to see needs get met, while you're waiting for experiences and opportunities to pour out, sometimes it can feel like you were forgotten, like the life around you is a desert. It can feel like your resources have been snatched up by Babylon, but can I tell you that God is excellent at providing for you in the most unexpected ways. Zion is a mother that provides for her children. Zion is able to deal with people who are defeated and to deliver. God touches people who are forgotten and reminds you that God is a provider. But thirdly, Zion is a mother that gives peace. You don't have to be stressed. The people of Zion have seen war-ridden streets and hostile takeover. They are all too familiar with being unsettled. And despite Assyrian soldiers and a broke-down building, despite Babylon battles, despite Boston bombers and Newtown shooters, despite gunshots fired in Charleston and Chicago schoolyards, God promises the people of Jerusalem that their nation will be a place that brings peace. In verse 12, we hear that I will extend peace to Zion like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flood stream. You will nurse and be carried in her arms and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Zion is a mother because it is a place that gives comfort and peace. A place where God restores peace. So you may feel distressed. The realities of our Babylons, our imperfect world, the crazy reports we hear on the news, the crazy situations we see in our own families, they're real. But more real are God's promises of peace. Isaiah 26 still holds true that God will keep us in perfect peace if we keep our eyes on God. Goodwill, don't be distressed. Zion is a mother that brings peace, even in the midst of trying circumstances. Isaiah tells the Israelites that Zion is a mother to show them who God is and that God can use the very places you are to bless you and remind you that God will deliver on God's promises. You're not defeated. God is a provider. You are not forgotten, and God gives peace. You don't have to be distressed. Isaiah prophesied to tell the Israelites that their nation, Jerusalem, is a mother. But can I tell you that God is still making mothers? Shouldn't be a surprise to most, but God is actually excellent at making mothers, at making those who have been mothers also become mothers. What I mean is, certainly we have the moments when we all need to crawl up in God's lap. Yes. And to be restored by the feeling, God's motherly love that delivers, provides, and gives peace. But when we are restored, and sometimes before we are fully restored, the expectation is that we will share what we have received with others who need it. What I am saying is, people of goodwill, before you get too comfortable with this sermon and decide to lay back in comfy congregational seats and get coddled and cuddled by the love of God, before you get too comfortable in the mother's arms, this message is not just a message of comfort. This is also a message to encourage and to instruct you how to be a mother. Now, men, don't go sitting back too far. I mean this for everyone. This sermon is a message for all the mothers in the congregation. And there are a lot of mothers here. Some mothers have children, and some mothers don't have children. I see some teenage mothers and some small children mothers. I see some adult mothers and some senior citizen mothers. There are mothers who are men, and there are some mothers who are women. Goodwill, you are a mother to the people who feel scattered and alone in your community. You are a mother to the people who feel scattered and alone in your families and in your world. They are scattered and alone because they have not yet encountered the love of God, the love of a mother that you know so freely. What would it look like? What does God need to deliver through you, to birth through you, to birth something new in your community? Who fears that they are defeated? What are the rich and plentiful resources, the gifts and talents that God has placed in your body, like milk, that can nourish the body and the soul of someone else, just like a mother nurses her baby? What are the godly words of wisdom? The kind gestures, the warm embraces that spread God's peace? What are the letters to Congress, the political activism, the community strategies, the unpopular votes that God can use to usher in God's peace to people who feel distressed by the real world Babylon experiences they are going through? The hell that they are living in. God sent a word through Isaiah that spoke then but continues to speak to us today. The word finds us all in all the ways that we need God and that we need the redemption of Christ to set us free from bondage of our sins, that invites us to be released from defeat, that frees us from being forgotten, and that liberates us from the shackles of distress. God can meet you right where you are. To deliver on God's promises, to provide for our needs, and to usher in peace. And God can send you out to embody these gifts to all the world around you. Praise God to a God who was gracious enough, kind enough, awesome enough, faithful enough. Oh, all praises be to a God that is merciful enough. Oh God, praises be to a God that is loving enough. Oh, praises be to a God that is glorious enough. Can we give thanks to a God that is awesome enough to make a congregation at Goodwill filled with mothers? Amen.
Amen. Let the church say amen. 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 Truly we give honor to God. Amen. How about our preacher? How about our preacher? Amen. So kind of remind us, Zion is a mother because a mother delivers. A mother provides. And a mother gives peace. Aren't you glad we have mothers? Mothers, you are the best. You are the best. Because there's anybody who can deliver when we know we need.